This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His help and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil within ourselves and the evil consequences of our evil actions. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can misguide, and whoever is led astray, none can guide. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship but Allah. He is alone and has no partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and messenger. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dearest brothers and sisters who are tuning in to the Connect the Pearls Islamic Conference on the theme and the topic of lockdown. This is your sister Kalisha Bennett all the way from Australia, and I'm honored and humbled to be able to present to you, alhamdulillah, for the second year in a row for this conference. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit and strengthen us all through the reminders that we learn and gain from this conference. So inshallah, what I wanted to share with you all today is a reminder, a very simple, short reminder, inshallah, on the topic of unlocking hearts during lockdown. So we know that globally it's a very tricky, challenging time that we're in, and I understand that there are different intensities of the lockdown happening in different cities, different countries around the world. Some are going about it in a very challenging and restricted way, and some places are a little bit more flexible and free moving. Either way, we know that we're in times where things are changing and that we are under immense pressures and immense struggles when it comes to adjusting to that change and being in a world where we are perhaps somewhat fearful of the unknown, the fact that we don't know what is going to happen week by week as we move forward into the future. That can be a very unsettling experience and concern for many people. So inshallah, we're going to have a look at this topic of unlocking hearts during lockdown. How can we use the lockdown to unlock our hearts and go into our hearts, into our souls, and inshallah ta'ala purify ourselves and strengthen ourselves and discover and remedy things that perhaps we didn't really know were there. So I want to start off with a story, inshallah, for us to draw inspiration from. Likely you know this story. It's the amazing story of our beloved Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anh and how he became a Muslim. And this is a very powerful story of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can unlock someone's heart, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can open up someone's heart when previously perhaps there was no hope for that person's heart to be opened. And likewise, you know, when it comes to our own hearts, we might think that we no longer feel, or we can no longer cope with, or that we can no longer, connect, or we struggle to understand. But when it comes down to it, we have to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the controller of the hearts. And if He decrees that a heart should be locked or unlocked, then nothing can stand in the way of that, subhanAllah. So to recap and be reminded of the story of our beloved Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anh, at one stage he went to go visit the Haram, and he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam praying in front of the Kaaba. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was reciting Surat Haqqah, the reality. And when Umar radiallahu anh was listening to it, he said, "By Allah, this is poetry, as the Quraysh have said." And then right when he said that this is poetry that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reciting, the next ayah the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited, "Innahu laqawlu rasulin kareem wa ma huwa biqawli sha'ir qalilan ma tu'minun." He said that this is verily the word of an honored messenger. It is not the word of a poet. Little is that you believe. So subhanAllah, Umar radiallahu anhu's doubts are being responded to. Surprised by this, Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Well, he must be a soothsayer." Another accusation that the Quraysh used to make about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As soon as he said that, the next verse was then recited, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited, ولا بقول كاهن قليلا ما تذكرون تنزيل من رب العالمين. Nor is it the word of a soothsayer. Little is that you remember. This is the revelation sent down from the Lord of the Alameen. So, you know, later on in his life, speaking of this moment of when this incident happened, Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, this is when Islam entered my heart. So in that moment, the little seeds were being planted as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the arguments and the rebuttals and the assumptions and accusations that Umar radiallahu anhu had about the ayat of the Quran that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was recited. So we have to think, you know, hearts can change. And they change gradually sometimes. In the famous incident as well, where we know Umar ibn al-Khattab, where he was well known for his determination and his anger and his short temper, and he made this sudden decision one day that he's going to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So even though Islam was slowly entering into his heart, the hatred that he had for this religion, it still existed. So on the day he decided, that's it, I'm going to kill the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the way to kill the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ran into one of the companions, Na'im ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, who started to talk to him, trying to slow him down. And when Na'im found out that Umar wanted to kill the Prophet, he told Umar, maybe you should go talk to your sister first, because I heard that she's become a Muslim. So he used a strategy or a distraction technique to be able to protect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Umar went on a detour and headed over to his sister's house, and he noticed and he heard the recitation of the Quran. When he entered upon his sister, her husband Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu he asked his sister and his sister's husband, have you left the faith of your forefathers? And then he began to attack them both. And he actually made his sister bleed. And when he saw her bleeding, he felt guilty. That's what calmed him down. So he apologized to his sister and husband. And then he asked them, show me what you're reading. Let me see what you're reading. And his sister said to him, go and purify yourself first. You have to purify before you can see these holy words, holy scripture. And then upon reading the verses of Surah Taha, Islam again began to enter Umar radiallahu anhu's heart. So now he's back on the track to go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right, and confront the Prophet. In this time, you know, Na'im had distracted Umar radiallahu anhu, sent him to his sister's house. He's bought some time. So Na'im had gone to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and warned him that Umar's coming and he's coming to kill you. So when Umar got to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's house, he had his sword in his hand, and the warrior, Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, said, don't worry, I'll kill him with his own sword. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, no, go and hide. And when Umar entered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet grabbed Umar by the collar and shook him, and he said, O Ibn al-Khattab, why have you not accepted Islam? Like a demand, strong demand. Why haven't you accepted Islam? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu responded, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He bore witness that there is nothing worthy of worship but Allah, and he bore witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, and he became Muslim. SubhanAllah. The Muslims who were hiding at this time, staying out of the way of this, you know, incident, this altercation that was about to take place, they started yelling, Allahu Akbar. So it was an immense and momentous moment. And what do we learn from this journey of Umar radiallahu anhu? It's the progression of a heart which was once locked and assumed as locked and hard and closed, gradually opening up, subhanAllah. So much so that, you know, we all know that later on he became one of the greatest leaders of Islam and of the Ummah, subhanAllah. So you don't know what is in store for any individual, let alone yourself, if you unlock the depths of your heart, the depths of your iman, subhanAllah. Just imagine what potential you have. So when we look at the state of hearts, you know, there are different types of hearts and different states that the heart can fall into. Some people have a dead heart. This is a heart that is devoid of any iman, any goodness. It is a heart which is not living and breathing and surviving and thriving. We also have darkened hearts. We have hardened hearts, we have blackened hearts, we have sealed hearts, we have locked hearts, we have blind hearts, all these different types of states of hearts, subhanAllah, that we constantly have to check in with ourselves and check the condition of our heart. No, is it beating? No, is it breathing? No, is it constantly moving and growing and purifying itself? Or is it becoming stagnated, unhealthy, dead, dying, blackened, darkened? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. When it comes even to blind hearts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah says, it is as if God has sealed their hearts and their hearing, and their vision is veiled. There is great chastisement for them. So a blind heart that's sealed, it can't see the truth. It's locked, it's closed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cause that upon a heart. And their vision is veiled. You can't see the reality, subhanAllah. May Allah protect all of us. Our ultimate goal, our ideal, is to have a sound heart. We want to have a sound heart. What is a sound heart? The heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah, chapter 26, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهِ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. It's about the one who comes to Allah, only the one who comes to Allah with a sound heart. So this is the type of believing heart that we want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with in the Akhirah. To be able to be granted entry into paradise, we want to have a sound heart, a heart which is in a state of peace, in a state of tranquility, in a state of obedience, in a state of balance and good health and a strong spiritual and connected heart, subhanAllah. When we look at the lockdown situation that we're in, maybe check in with yourself, think about the people around you, some of the conversations that you've heard, even seeing some of the statistics of people's, mental and emotional health and well-being during the lockdown phases in different places around the world. We have people, explaining that they have symptoms of feeling very anxious. They feel very fearful. They have a heart which is very, it's stirred and disturbed. They might feel very sad or lonely or isolated. They feel insecure. They feel unsafe. So hearts are in really a lot of hearts, many hearts. Maybe your heart right now as you're listening to this might be in a very unsettled and disturbed state. It might feel extremely agitated. It might feel extremely insecure and unsafe right now because of the different things happening in the world and, the state of being in lockdown, especially if you're under very high isolation, locked up at home, not able to leave the house except for, a few hours a day or move about, no sense of community. Maybe you don't have many friends. Maybe you don't have many people living with you in your home, and you might feel extremely isolated and highly anxious and disturbed, subhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you. So going through the lockdown experience is going to force you to sit with yourself because of that isolation. But through that sitting with yourself, it's so important that you check in with your state of heart and ask yourself, what is my state of spirituality within my heart? What is my state of emotional well-being within my heart? What is my state of connection within the relationships that I have with others? How is that going when it comes to my heart? Do I have any bad qualities that I'm carrying within my heart? Hatred, malice, jealousy, envy, pride. Do I have within my heart any negative feelings towards other people, where when I think about someone, I have these very negative feelings which arise within my heart? So this lockdown phase, this lockdown time, yes, it is a big challenge and a big difficulty for many, but at the same time, it's an amazing opportunity to check in with any locks that we have hanging onto our hearts, preventing it from being truly open, truly connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, truly free to explore the journey of our spiritual awakenings, our spiritual connection, our spiritual learning. If we can unlock our hearts, perhaps we can tap into the greatest Islamic spiritual iman-boosting potential that we have within us, subhanAllah. So how can you unlock your heart during this lockdown phase that we have and that we're experiencing? But of course, as I mentioned, check in with your heart first. What state and condition is it in? How is it feeling? Is it feeling settled or unsettled? Does it feel healthy or does it feel diseased? Does it feel light or does it feel weighed down? What's going on with your heart? So you have to gauge that within yourself. What gaps do you have in your heart? Is there anything missing? What pain are you carrying in your heart? What wounds have taken place? Who has hurt you? What's happened to you that you haven't been able to resolve or reconcile? In what ways is your heart locked or blocked or closed or hardened? What are you holding on to that you need to let go of? What is it that you need to release? So just asking these questions are there for you to really think about the state and condition of your heart and what it is that you're carrying within your heart. So why do we want to unlock our hearts? What's on the other side of unlocking our hearts? We need to understand that when we unlock our hearts, we're going to be able to have a much better quality of life, the experience of our life, the spiritual connection that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the relationship even that we have with ourselves, being kind and loving and understanding to ourselves, merciful to ourselves, believing in ourselves, investing in ourselves, honoring ourselves, picking ourselves up when we're feeling down and low. And you know, we will also have benefits in the quality of our many relationships if we unlock our hearts. If we have locked hearts, how can we truly give it and share it with others? The quality of our personal Islamic journeys is going to be greatly enhanced if we can unlock our hearts. A lot of the time people say, I learn Islam or I read the Quran, but I feel blocked, like it's not going into my heart, like I don't feel connected. Or when they make salah, they'll say, I feel like it's not connecting deeply within my heart. If you can unlock your heart, then inshallah ta'ala, you'll be able to tap into that greater spiritual potential that lies within you. So looking at the lockdown time, we need to really focus on using the time during these lockdown, you know, hours, these countless hours where we have to be at home or restricted, and use the time to unlock your hearts. Now you're thinking, what do you mean? How do I unlock my hearts now? The most important and the simplest step towards unlocking your heart is to ponder over the Quran, to read it and ponder over the Quran, to read the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord, your Maker, your Sustainer, who sent down this divine book from the heavens and placed it onto this earth, placed it on, you know, the most pure of books, the most pure of speech, the most pure speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down to this earth. Why? To guide us and to help us understand ourselves and unlock the mysteries of life and unlock our minds and unlock our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, chapter 47, verse 24, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقَفَالُهَا. Allah asks this question, will they not then ponder over the Quran, or is it that they have locks on their hearts from which bar them from reason? So Allah's asking, don't they ponder over the Quran? If I asked you, do you ponder over the Quran? Don't you ponder over the Quran? Don't you read a verse and try to sit on it and reflect upon it and try to push it into your heart to impact you? And then Allah says, do they not ponder on it, or do they have locks on their hearts? Are their hearts locked? Are their hearts locked? Do you ponder over the Quran? Do you read it regularly? Do you read it daily? Or are there locks on your hearts? So the cure to these locks, the way to unlock the heart, is to ponder over the Quran. When we look at some of the beautiful names of the Quran, I want to share some of these names of the Quran so you can understand why this is the means of unlocking our hearts. And one of the names of the Quran is Nur, the light. When you read the Quran, as a Muslim, you'll never feel the darkness. You'll never feel like you're in the dark, because the Quran is known as a Nur. It is a light. We have the Shifa, the healing. So Muslim should know that the Quran is a source of healing for, yes, physical ailments, but also spiritual ailments, psychological ailments, emotional ailments. Right? We should use the Quran as a Shifa, a healing. The Quran is also known as Huda, the guidance. So you should never feel like you're lost or misguided. You know, you speak to people that are like, I feel so lost. How can we feel lost when we have the Quran, known as the Huda, the guidance for mankind? How can we feel lost when the direction, the roadmap, the GPS is right there? It's also known as the Tanzil, the thing which is sent down. We know it's sent down from the heavens. So the Muslim should feel confident in its authority. So when you read the Quran, you know, this came from the heavens onto planet Earth and is telling you about the, you know, the way to live and the purpose of your life. This is a big deal. This book is an absolute authority compared to all other types of self-help books or guides. It's also known as Kitab, the book. So you should know that this is something which is permanently inscribed and unwavering. It's a secured, collected book, okay? As in, it's something which is preserved. It's also known as, we know, the Quran, the recitation. So it is a word which is to be proclaimed. The Quran means the recitation. So the Quran is only truly the Quran when it's being recited, which means it must be continuously recited. It must be a book which is not just visually read. It should be recited out loud. It's also known as Fadl Allah, the Fadl of Allah, the bounty of God. So you should know that it's a bounty and a mercy from Allah. It's also known as Furqan, the criterion. And you should base your decisions on the guidance of the Quran without fear or without doubt. If the Quran is the criterion, the good from bad, the right from wrong, use it as your guide. So that's a very important part. How do you unlock your heart? Ponder over the Quran, which requires you to read the Quran, to spend time with the Quran, and to sit with the Quran. Another means of unlocking your heart is to be of service. Be of service to the people, give to the people, serve the people, help the people, support the people. When you do this through what you experience, through being someone who is humbled to do the simplest of jobs and tasks for the betterment of others in society, this is what will, inshallah, slowly unlock your heart and allow it to be open and allow it to be humbled. And obviously connecting that to helping the poor and the needy. When you see those who have less, when you see the less fortunate, when you are with the downtrodden, this is another means of unlocking your heart. Another way is to reflect upon your blessings. Think about how many countless blessings you have. If you started writing from the morning till the night for 10 years straight, you'll still never run out of things to write down, which are blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala running through and through you, within your life, within your body, all throughout the day without you even asking, subhanAllah. So if you can reflect on your blessings, these can be a means of unlocking your heart. And also to remember what's truly important in life. The heart gets locked because it sometimes can lose sight of what the reality of life is. It can lose sight and lose focus on why we're here, what we're meant to do, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects from us, and what potential we have, and what our mission is, and what we need to sacrifice, and what we need to strive for. It's so easy to forget it and get caught up in the dunya. But to unlock the heart, you want to strive to remember, think, what do I need to be doing? And slowly, slowly, inshallah, it will set your heart free from being bound to the dunya experience and the material experience, and rather striving for what's truly important, which is the everlasting accountability we have in the akhirah, and then ultimately our everlasting destination in the akhirah. So I want to end with that, inshallah. I hope you've been able to take some notes and benefit, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen all of us and allow us to ponder over the Quran, number one, and use that as a means of strengthening and unlocking our hearts. And may we have healed, recovered, purified hearts by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission, and, you know, to strip away all the darkness and all the taintedness within our hearts, and to strengthen it, strengthen our hearts and make them purer and more resilient and more focused and living according to our greater purpose than ever, inshallah ta'ala. And to end with a reminder, beautiful hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to remind us of the importance of giving this heart focus. He said, "Verily Allah does not look to your faces and your wealth, but He looks to your heart and your deeds." So focus on your heart. You might physically be in lockdown, but it's time to unlock your heart and set it free to be able to work and strive for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be connected to your greater purpose. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. Jazakallah khair for listening, everyone. This is your sister, Kalisha Bennett. I look forward to, inshallah ta'ala, seeing you again, perhaps in person next year. Barakallahu fikun. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.